Stream worship gathering this morning. We are thankful that you're joining us, and we're thankful for the opportunity to be able to gather this way, at least, and lift up the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give a quick thank you to Doug Jordan on our audio-visual, all the technical stuff to make this happen. I want to thank Joe Hensley and the rest of the worship team, which includes Megan Smith, Matt Towns, Jason Farmer, and Phil Harrington. So these guys came out to make this happen for you there at home, and we appreciate them. Make sure you shoot them a text or an email. Give them a quick call. Let them know how much you appreciate their efforts. Now, I want to encourage you as we start this morning that for us who trust Jesus for salvation, our union with Him is real, and it's eternal, and that means that our unity as individual members of His body is real. So while this format's not what we would desire, this online gathering is a real communion of the saints in communion with our Savior. And so we're glad you're here. I want to ask you to stand, and I realize what I just said. I want to ask you to stand right there in your home. As we read from the Word of God, God sees you as you honor Him in standing for the precious Word. And I want to share with you some words of encouragement. One of my favorite chapters in all of Scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 35, where it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. There are many, many big things that are uncertain in our lives and in our world today, but the love of God, the everlasting love of Almighty God for us in Christ, our security in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is not uncertain. It's absolutely solid. And I'm so thankful today, aren't you, that we know the truth of Romans 8 and we know it for our own hearts and souls. It gives us peace of mind. We live in a world surrounded by people who do not know. They don't have the hope that nothing can separate them from the love of Christ. And so we want to pray for them this morning. We want to pray for your neighbors and co-workers. We want to pray that you would have opportunities, even over Zoom, for gospel conversations this coming week as you interact with people. And we want to pray for the nations this morning. There are still millions who, in the middle of this crisis of potential life and death situations, have no hope of the gospel. They've never even heard the name of Jesus. And so join me in praying for the Gosain people of India, 1,537,000 people among whom there is no evangelical gospel witness. And so join me as we pray for them. We're going to pray for several things, our world in general. So would you just join me now as we look to our Father who loves us. Father, thank you that nothing can separate us from your love. And this morning we want to pray that you would use us during these days of uncertainty to pass on this word of certain hope to those around us. We pray for our neighbors, our co-workers, our friends, our families. We pray for the Gosain of India, that you would get a gospel witness there. And Lord, this morning we pray for our nation. First, we pray for the coronavirus patients, that you would bring healing to their bodies. Father, we pray for our health care providers, and thank you so much for them. Give them strength. Give them a measure of grace and protection, Father. And we also pray for other service providers that are having to work long and hard hours to keep the supply chain moving for us day by day. We also want to pray for our leaders at all levels that are working to mitigate the pandemic and God, we pray for our educators that are still working to continue to instruct our children and our young people online at all different levels of education. We pray for our church family this morning. Father, we thank you for each and every one. We miss one another. But Father, we pray for each other. We just lift each other up in Christ right now, Father, that you would empower us to be intentional in our communication with one another. And Father, we pray that you would use us in our prayers for the salvation of the nations. And we lift up our missionaries, many of whom are continuing to work right where they are, still on the field, unable to, are not able to leave the country where they serve. And we pray for them, God, that you would strengthen them and use them in situations all around the globe for the glory of the gospel, we pray. We thank you for this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship together.
We're glad you joined us. We're going to sing How Great is Our God and How Great He Truly Is, because He's in charge of all and He doesn't leave and nor forsake us, as Chad just read my favorite verses there a while ago.
Sing with me.
broken vessels.
Pieces broken and scattered in mercy. yourself down, raising up the broken to life.
Jason's going to be leading us in Your Love Never Fails, which is based exactly on what Chad read earlier.
Nothing can separate, even if I ran away. Your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes, but have new mercies for me every day. Your love never fails. And when the ocean drains, things work together for my good.
And Father, we thank you so much today that that is true. And your love never fails. It's been proven once and for all through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It's unquestionable. No matter what storms and deep waters we go through, even the current one, Lord, we can be confident in your everlasting love for us and for those of us who know you. Somehow, some way that we may only comprehend in eternity, you are working all things together for our good and for your glory in this world. Father, show us how we can give you glory in the middle of this situation that is bad and hard and difficult and confusing. And on a human level, downright scary. Father, show us how to have your peace. And in the face of fear and panic, to live with a joy and a hope that is supernatural and spirit-given, and that points people to the only anchor for our hearts, minds, and souls, even the Lord Jesus Himself. Father, help us and use us. And Father, open your precious word to us now and apply it to our hearts. Father, I thank you for each one in this room and those many viewing this right now. Father, I pray for each person. I don't even know all of them perhaps, but Father, you see them. You see their hearts. You see where they're at and how they're doing and what they're up to in their homes in these days. And so Father, I pray that right now, you would speak to them. You would talk to their hearts by the Spirit of God as we expound the Word of God and let you talk to us during these moments that follow. We wait on you, Father. You, Lord Jesus, are our teacher. Spirit of God, come, open our eyes to the very Word of the living God. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to invite you to turn with me this morning in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 is where we're going to be continuing our study. April the 15th. What comes to mind when we say the date, April the 15th? Tax day. It's a dreaded date, Joe, is it not? I hope your birthday, I was thinking about this morning, wouldn't it be awful if your birthday was April the 15th? Yours is. Your grandmother's is. We have a grandmother out there whose birthday is April 15th. Because you see, at that time, so many of your friends are scrambling around to get their taxes filed. They're in a foul mood. They just found out how much money they got to pay. It's just a tough day, right? But amid this unprecedented time of this health crisis with all of its uncertainty, the IRS has done the unprecedented and extended the tax deadline to July the 15th. That's three whole more months. The tax collectors of Jesus' day, as much as we dread any visit or call or mail from the IRS, the tax collectors of Jesus' day would have never, under any circumstances, even these, made such a concession because, you see, well, they didn't have that kind of authority. You see, the tax collectors of Jesus' day were local people back then in the regions in which they lived, conscripted and brought into service by the Roman government, and they worked for the occupying Roman Empire, but they were also regarded as thieves because, well, most of them were. They collected Rome's percentage of the tax, but then they extorted their own percentage, whatever it might be, with the full backing of the local Roman soldiers who they could call to take the tax by force if needed. So there really is no equivalent today, but maybe this will help you. Think something like a mixture of the IRS and the old Al Capone type mafia boss, and you've got in your mind now something like the Jewish tax collector, considered a traitor because as a Jew he worked for the occupation, considered a thief because, well, he was. And so we pick up our study of Luke's gospel in chapter 5, verse 27. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. Now, we believe this scene would have occurred just outside of Capernaum, where Jesus had been teaching and healing and doing various things. We believe it was probably near the shore of the Sea of Galilee, because Mark 2, verse 13, from the parallel account here in Mark's gospel, says that he went out again beside the sea, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. And the next verse begins to talk about this encounter with Levi, or Matthew. Some scholars have suggested that perhaps Levi's job, was to collect tax specifically from the fishermen. Which, imagine how much more dreaded that would be for Matthew when the disciples show up with Jesus. The text goes on, and he said to him, Jesus speaking to Levi or Matthew, "Follow me." And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. Kind of sounds like Peter, James, and John, doesn't it? Follow me, Jesus says. That's the call of Christ. Follow me, and leaving everything, leaving their nets in Peter, James, and John's case. Here, leaving the tax booth, Levi, Matthew, rose and followed him. Verse 29, and Levi made him a great feast in his house. That is Jesus. He threw a party for Christ in his house, and there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." I want to talk to you this morning about a true friend for sinners. Not a friend like some of us when we were sinners, and some of you today still living apart from Christ have. You know, it seems like when we're living in sin, sometimes our true friends, Jason, they're really not true at the end of the day, are they? Because we're all living for ourselves. But I want to talk to you about a man who was a true friend for sinners. Even the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the take-home truth. Jesus came for those who know their sin sickness with a simple saving prescription as the only Savior healer for our souls. Jesus came for those who know their sin sickness, and he came bearing a prescription that would save and heal our souls. Notice with me, first of all, as we think about a true friend for sinners, his name is Jesus, and Jesus calls the worst of sinners. Jesus calls the worst of sinners. Again, verses 27 and 28, after he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." He knows who he is. He knows what he does. It doesn't dissuade him. Jesus calls the worst of sinners. And he says, "Follow me," and leaving everything, verse 28, he rose and followed him. Skipping down to verse 32, Jesus says, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." What is the call? The call is repent and follow me. Now, we've already talked about how despised the tax collectors would have been, so we won't rehash that, but hear Jesus' rebuke of some other self-righteous Jewish leaders later on in his ministry as this rebuke is recorded in Matthew 21, 31, and 32. And listen for who it is that the tax collectors are coupled with here. Jesus says to these self-righteous Jews, much like the people there by the Sea of Galilee in Luke 5, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you." Wow. "For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him." As if saying it once wasn't enough, Jesus said it twice. "You and your self-righteousness, nation of Israel, have missed the truth of who I am as the Messiah. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes didn't miss it. They got it when John started talking about repenting and looking for the Messiah, and they got it when I came talking about true healing for the soul." Levi or Matthew, this tax collector that Jesus spoke to, get it. He was on par with prostitutes, according to Jesus' own assessment and the assessment of the society around him. And notice, Jesus wanted Matthew to be one of his disciples, to be one of his followers. This Levi mentioned in Luke 5 is Matthew. That is the author of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus calls the worst of sinners. You know, Paul said to the church at Corinth that many of them there in the church, in the body of Christ at Corinth, had been, before repenting and trusting Jesus, according to the text there, sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, thieves, greedy, drunks, revilers, and swindlers. But then 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11 says this, and this is so true, not just of the church of Corinth. It's true of us, church, the church of East LJ Baptist Church, and churches all across the world. "But such were some of you. But," I love this, "you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." What that verse means is this: God can wash, sanctify, and justify any kind of sinner, even the very worst of sinners, because Jesus calls the worst of sinners. Now, when he does that in our lives, when he saves us, he doesn't leave us the same. The point of the context of 1 Corinthians 6, if you go back there and look, is this: once you have come to Christ and turned from sin and started following him, then your life will be different. In fact, the text says if you continue to live as all those different things, sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, thieves, greedy, drunks, if you continue to live in that pattern of life, it proves you never really repented and trusted Jesus. And the text says there in 1 Corinthians 6, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven while you're living like that. So repentance is required, as we're going to see in just a moment, but understand, God can wash, sanctify, justify the worst of sinners. The truth is, there are probably some of each of those categories and kinds of sinners watching and listening to this message right now. As a church, we want to do our best to imitate Jesus. Amen? Not the self-righteous religious leaders that Jesus spoke out against. That's the kind of church we don't want to be. Because many of us were the worst of sinners. Because that's true, we want to call those who may be deepest in sin, the most enslaved to sin, and those who feel the most helpless and hopeless because of sin to come to our Savior healer, because we have been the worst of sinners and we know He calls even the worst. You may think this morning as you listen to this message, you may think you're too far gone for sin. You're not. You're not. You may feel too far gone in a life of bad decisions, greed, loose living, using people for your own ends, whatever else it may be. You're not too far gone. because Jesus calls the worst of sinners. You may think Jesus could never want to help and heal and save you and call you His friend, but He does. Jesus went to the worst of sinners and He looked him in the eye and He said, "Matthew, follow me." Jesus, in fact, sir, ma'am, young person, Jesus is through His Word and His Spirit perhaps this morning calling you right now to Himself. He's looking you in the eye of your heart. He's speaking to you by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, and He's saying to you, follow me. Repent, turn of sin, turn from sin, look away from sin, look to me. Take yourself off the throne, put me on the throne, trust my saving work on the cross and in the resurrection, and follow me. You know what? That's why He made sure Levi's story made it to the Bible, so that you today could know that Jesus came for those who know their sin sickness. Some of us listening are acutely aware of our need. We feel the guilt of our sin, the weight of our sin, the destruction of our sin. Jesus made sure this story got in the Bible so you could hear this message on this date, this very hour, and know that Jesus came for those like you who know their sin sickness. And He calls the worst of sinners to repent, to turn from sin and trust Jesus as your Savior healer. Jesus was a true friend of sinners. He called the worst of sinners. And secondly this morning, Jesus was, this is the same point as the title, was a true friend of sinners. We'll talk about what that means. Verse 29, after Levi comes to follow Christ, after he leaves everything, gets up from the tax booth and starts following Jesus. Verse 29 said, Levi made him a great feast in his house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with him. You know what? One of the things we ought to do is throw some Matthew parties. When people come to Christ, we ought to celebrate that. We ought to have some kind of get-together when people turn from sin into Jesus. Amen? We ought to celebrate, and we ought to call all our lost friends, all of the lost friends of the one that just came to Christ, and have them come. This is the Jesus model, the Matthew model. Verse 30 says, and the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at His disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Remember with me back to the calling of Peter, James, and John. What did Jesus say? From now on, I will teach you to be fishers of men. What that means is, from that point forward in His relationship and His tour of Galilee and Judea, as He went around teaching, He was not only teaching the kingdom of God to those who came to hear Him, He was teaching the disciples how to be fishers of men. So what's He doing in calling Matthew here? Well, He's teaching His disciples how to be fishers of men. He's showing them how to be fishers of men in calling even Levi here. And the man fishing tip He gives in this story is this. If you want to catch fish, go where the fish are. Now this is deep. This is difficult. I understand that if you want to catch fish, you got to go where the fish are. I mean, come on, this ain't rocket science, is it? If you're a fisherman, you got to find the fish before you have any hope of catching the fish. I mean, you can't just go to some puddle of water and throw a hook in and expect to catch anything, right? You got to go where the fish are. Jesus goes to Matthew's house. Jesus goes to the party this just converted worst of sinners was thrown for him, where a whole lot more just like him are gathered. You know, Jesus is never constrained by cultural stigmas, and neither should we be. In fact, we saw it just a few weeks ago with the leper. He's always loving those that are outcast and looked down upon by society. Can I tell you a little secret? Based on what Jesus said in Matthew 21 that we read just a while ago, there's a good chance that at this party Matthew throws for Jesus, there's prostitutes there too. Y'all all right? Jesus went to that party. Just imagine all the people that religious people in church would not hang out with. And those are the ones that Jesus had dinner and spent the evening with. Pastor, is that a rebuke to us? Yes, it's a rebuke to me. Again, we want to be like Jesus. We don't want to be like the self-righteous religious leaders that were grumbling to his disciples that Jesus in turn rebuked. Because again, all of us were and still are sinners. And here's the thing. If you don't think you're the worst sinner you know, then you don't know yourself very well. We have a true understanding of the holiness of God and our own sinfulness when I'm the worst sinner I know. And I say that with all truth. Because all of us were and still are sinners, we want to love and be true friends to those around us who've been ravaged by the pain and the destruction of their own sinful decisions and actions. We want to love those that others reject. Jesus came to be a true friend of even the worst of sinners. Now, what does it mean to be a true friend? I keep saying it that way, true friend. Well, we're not talking about running with folks in sin and doing all the stuff that they're doing, right? Jesus never condoned their sin or sinned himself, but he was regularly spending time with and genuinely being the best friend to many, many sinners that any of them could ever have. Which means that if Jesus did that, if Jesus had friends like that, then having those kinds of relationships, hear me, is not condoning sin. Nor is it sin in itself, but it is following the example of Christ. Now, obviously, had Jesus crossed over into immorality or drunkenness or anything else, greed with those sinners that were living in that lifestyle, then it would have been all for naught. But Jesus loved them truly and genuinely, and because he did, he gave them the prescription for what ailed them. Not only did he not sin, he told them the truth about where they were. He called all of us sinners to repentance. Jesus said, you know, the healthy, the well, don't need a doctor. You know, today we have well visits. I don't know about right now, probably not, but we have well visits. Like we have preventative medicine in these days. In Jesus' day, and for most of human history, there's not been such a thing as preventative medicine or well visits, right? When you were sick, you went to the doctor. Jesus said it's not the well that need a doctor. If you think you're healthy, you don't go to the doctor. I mean, here's what I can tell you. Until you know you're sick and admit you're sick, you're not going to go to the doctor, are you? Right? And some of us are more stubborn than others. Some of us don't want to be sick, so we're sick for 2 days before we admit, hey, I'm sick. You know, we just don't want to give in. We think somehow if we just think we're not sick, we won't be sick. And then he says, I have not come to call the righteous, sinners to repentance. What a gift repentance is. Repentance means things don't have to always be like they are today for you. You don't always have to live like you are today, feel like you feel today. If you're not walking with Jesus today, you can do an about face. And you can turn from yourself as master and from your sin, and you can turn to Jesus as your master, as the boss of your life, and as your Savior and your healer. That's what He's calling you to this morning. If you know you're sin sick and need a Savior. Because the healthy don't need a doctor. The ones that think they're healthy will never go to the doctor. I have not come to call the righteous, Jesus said, but sinners to repentance. Now, just a quick note there. Who is he talking about when he said the righteous? Paul says in Romans 3, there is none righteous, no, not one. What did he mean here? Well, again, he's talking to these scribes. You say, why do y'all eat with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus said, here's the thing, guys. Understand something. I didn't come to call you because you don't think you need to be called to repentance. But I came to call those who know they're sin sick to repentance. It's not that the Pharisees and scribes were actually righteous. They were religiously righteous, but before a holy God, they would have busted hell wide open upon their death. They were just as sinful as everyone else in their self-righteousness. In fact, they were more, in some ways, more deceived in sin because they thought they were not sinful. And so what Jesus is saying here, I've not come to call those that think they don't need a Savior, that think they're righteous. I've come to call those who know they are sinful, and I've come to call them to repentance. I've come to call them to turn away from sin and their lives now and towards me in a different path as they follow me. Just know this, if you're listening this morning and thinking that you identify more with the religious leaders and you can't imagine why Jesus would ever go over and eat with big-time sinners like mafia bosses and prostitutes, then you think you're well. And well people don't need doctors. And hear me, Jesus cannot help you until you realize that you too, like every single human being on the planet, are deeply sin-sick and in dire need of a Savior healer whose name is Jesus. Because Jesus came for those who know their sin sickness with a simple saving prescription as the only Savior healer for our souls. Jesus said, the well don't need a physician, just the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If you know you're sin sick and need a Savior, then Jesus came to bring healing and salvation to you. And here's the deal, there's no reason to live another day without it. If you know your sin this morning, and you hear Jesus speaking to your heart right now, He came to give you grace and forgiveness and mercy and heal you, then come to Him. Right now, wherever you're sitting, wherever you're watching or hearing this today, you can get that healing for your soul. You can repent. Will you? Will you repent and trust Jesus and follow Him? Will you in this moment, as we close this message, turn away from sin, say to God, I hear what you're calling me to do. You're calling me to do an about face. And I've been walking in this direction, doing what I want to do. I've been the master of my own soul. I've been the boss of my own life. I have been walking away from you in sin, and it's killing me. It's destroying me in this life, and it will forever destroy me, and I know that it will. I want to do an about face right now. God, help me as I repent. Cause my heart to do a turn, a real turn away from sin. and to you. And now, God, as I turn, Lord Jesus, I want to follow you. I trust that you were righteous in my place when you were here on earth. That when you went to the cross, you died the death I deserved. You bore my sin's penalty on that tree when you died. All of God's wrath and justice was poured out on you instead of me. And you say that if I'll simply trust that you did that for me, and on the third day rose again, proving that it worked and it was effective, and you're the victor and champion forever. You say that if I believe that, then you will save me. You'll forgive me. You'll change me. You'll indwell me by your Spirit. And you'll help me walk in a different path as I follow you. You can pray that right now. You don't have to use all those words. You don't have to do it like a preacher does it when he's preaching. Just say it to Jesus in your own heart. Say, Jesus, I want to turn. I want to repent. And I want to start following you. Trusting you as the only Savior, healer for my soul. Let's pray together. Father, I pray for us, your church, first of all this morning, that we would be like Christ in calling the worst of sinners to you. That we would be like Jesus in being true friends, even to the worst of sinners. That we would find ourselves hanging out with people who are just like we were. We're told that the most evangelistic years of most Christians' lives are right after they get saved, when they still have got lost friends. God, help us, forgive us of the sin of distancing ourselves from those that Jesus made a beeline for, and change us. God, now, can't do this right now, but God, help us to connect with co-workers that we're not seeing on a daily basis through text message and phone calls. Help us to keep those relationships connected and even give gospel conversations during this isolation time. Father, we want to be like Christ. We do not want to be like the Pharisees. For we are not righteous, and we need the mercy and grace of Christ. And in Him alone do we hope and do we have anything. But in Him we have everything. And so, Father, I pray for those that are listening this morning that need Jesus as their Savior. They need to come as a sinner, just like me, just like we've all on this stage done. We need to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I repent. I trust you as my only hope. And starting right now, I'm going to follow you by your grace and mercy and the power of your Spirit. Father, would you work that work of salvation in the hearts of many all across those that are watching today? Thank you, Jesus, for being a true friend of sinners. Thank you for the beautiful plan of salvation that God sent His Son to be our Savior, so that we who were enemies of God could be called the sons and daughters of the living God, and the friend and brother and sisters of Jesus. One in His family, one in the body of Christ. What a miracle. We praise you. We thank you. What a gracious and mighty Savior is our Jesus. Thank you. We pray it all in Christ's name. Amen. Join with us as we close with a song.
Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail.
So much, worship team, for helping us worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today. Just a couple of announcements as we close and get ready to sign off here. First of all, church family, we are here to serve you and our community. Your deacons and I want you to know that we'll be glad to practically serve you in any way that we can, especially those of you who are at high risk for this virus, whether that be a grocery run, a prescription pickup, whatever the case may be, just contact me or one of your deacons and let us know how we can serve. We're here to serve you. Secondly, thank you for continuing your faithfulness to honor Christ and to do that with your financial offerings to Him through the ministry of our church. You can give online. Just go to our website, which is eastlajbaptist.com, or on the EEBC app, and click on giving, and you'll have the option whether you want to do a one-time gift or set up recurring giving. Also, you can mail your offerings, and the address is on our website and also found on the app. Just click on contact us. If you do not receive our email or text message announcements and you would like to, and church members, let me just encourage you, it would be very helpful if you did, especially during this time, then you can get signed up for that so that you can receive all of our communications during this evolving time. Things change day to day. All you need to do is call or text me at 706-273-8370 and give me your name, number, and cell provider, and or email address if you prefer. Or you can go to our church's website. Again, that's eastlajbaptist.com. And on the bottom left, you'll find a link that talks about our community church messages. Just click on the blue words sign up, and you'll be taken to a real short form that will be sent to us so that we can get you set up on our communication system. Feel free to share this information with anyone who's been visiting with us, who is watching with you, who you've connected on our live stream that might want to receive those communications as well. Finally, I want to encourage you to do something this week. I want to encourage you to make an effort, starting today, starting this week, to have a phone or a Zoom conversation, FaceTime, with three people in the church family that you haven't talked to since we've had to discontinue our gatherings. I'm trying to encourage you as a church to fellowship as best we can, either through a phone conversation or a Zoom conversation. Get on FaceTime. Even as we talked about during the time of the message, do that with other people, but certainly with the family of God. So think of three people that you've not seen since we haven't had church, or talk to and reach out to them this week. And then do that again the next week and so on. And I think we'll find a little encouragement and fellowship in that. That's all we've got. Thank you so much for joining us today. And we'll look forward to gathering again next Sunday.